Good morning, everyone. It's Palm Sunday. Well, I am so glad you're here. Welcome. I am honored to say that I'm the pastor here. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood. And I just want you to know that you are so welcome here. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask me or anyone who is in the perimeter here, our ushers. Just a few logistics for our visitors and those who have been here for a long time, maybe. We have a couple things. Bathrooms are out both these doors and follow the signs for restrooms. Children, we have child care for children birth to kindergarten, and the child care is through that door as well, and then look for signs. We do have a safe sanctuary policy today in our church, and so it requires that children are always accompanied by the adult who brought them. So if your child needs to use the restroom during church, just go ahead with them. We have two QR codes on our bulletin. One leads you to the full order of worship, so if you want to know every word we're going to say, pull that up. And the other leads you to a way in which you can donate to the church with your credit card. And one last announcement, which is I'm very excited about. If you would like to join the procession, I've already asked lots of people to do this. If you would like to join us in the procession of the palms through the church, go in the back, and we will be singing and marching to the palms. So when you hear that introduction start, head on back, and we'll march in. All right. If you have any other questions, feel free to touch base with an usher. If you're an usher, raise your hand so we know who to ask. All right. Thank you. Our worship today spans the whole range of human emotions. Jesus' joyful entry into Jerusalem, his betrayal of Gethsemane, and his conviction and death sentence at trial. We will experience these events through the words of the Gospel according to Matthew. And we will start with chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, say that the Lord needs it." He sent them right off. Now this is happening to fulfill the prophet, what the prophet said. "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. He sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
Please be seated. Good morning. My name's Maddie Buckley, and I'm the liturgist today. All during Lent, we have been talking about listening for God and even dialoguing with God. Listening can happen in a parade or in a quiet place. Listening shouldn't be saved for those moments when we've lost our way, but our conversation with God can be as regular and natural as our breathing. Please remain seated and join me in the call to worship. For that which then I thought was right, for that which now I regret, for that which in coming times I know not what to do, come and rest, come and listen. Know that grace, forgiveness, and guidance are available to you at each and every moment that we turn to receive them. Thanks be to God. In the midst of the bustle of Jerusalem at Passover comes a parade into the city, not an event filled with grandeur and might, but still one that has reverberated through the ages. It continues to call us as a church to join with palms of praise and protest. Let us embrace the parade of Jesus that proclaims a kingdom of justice and peace. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing Ride On, Ride On, displayed on the screen and sung to the familiar tune of My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Please remain standing and take a moment to share the peace of Christ with your neighbors, because each time we share peace, we also receive it. Let us now greet one another by shaking hands, sharing a fist bump, or a high five.
Will the children please come forward if they are comfortable, and we will sing them in. Good morning. Please be seated. Hello, everyone. So there's a little bit of a change that's going to be happening. I think I've talked to, or your Sunday school teachers have talked to, your parents. But starting after Easter, we're going to have our children's time later in the order of worship, so we won't have it right after passing the peace. We'll have it somewhere else. And then if you are comfortable, children can go to Sunday school and be in Sunday school for a short time during worship, and then your parent will pick you up. But that's something you can talk to your parents about, and I mostly have talked to your parents as well. And I'm kind of saying that to everyone so you know kind of what's up ahead. All right, so I learned about this really interesting prayer called doodle prayer. Has anyone ever heard of doodle prayer? Yeah, I hadn't either. I just read about it this week. Does anyone doodle on their paper at school when maybe something's happening and you're listening, but you doodle? Do you draw pictures or anything? Yeah, you do. A couple people shook their head yes. All right, so a doodle prayer is kind of like that. So let's take a piece of paper and pass it down, and then we're going to take a crayon or two and pass it down, or a pencil. And we'll take that, and then, all right, it might be hard to doodle on your lap, but hopefully it works out. Got it? All right. Good. Hello. All right, so what you're going to do in your doodle prayer is you're going to write the word or a picture of God. So God is G-O-D. So you can write that in the middle, or you can just draw a picture in the middle of God. If you don't know what God looks like, it's okay. Draw a circle or a triangle. Okay, does everyone? Not yet. We have a couple more papers. And we have to get some pencils and crayons. Okay, so does everyone have one? Jacob has one. Okay, you have one. Did you get a pencil or a crayon? Great. Jim, you didn't get one. You don't want to draw? Okay, so when you draw God, or you write the word God, so that's the beginning point, all right? And then the doodle prayer is just about drawing a doodle, or whatever that looks like to you, that might have to do with a concern that you have or a joy that you have that you want to share or think about with God. So maybe you'll draw, I don't know what you would draw. I would probably doodle and draw a flower because I can't wait for spring, and that brings me joy. So a doodle prayer is really starting with a word or picture of God in the center and then just doodling around it, anything that comes to mind as you're praying. So, does anyone have any questions about how to do this doodle prayer? No. Do you need a pencil, a crayon? You're just thinking. I get it. So, a concern or a joy or something you want to talk to God about, maybe you're sad about something or happy or frustrated. Is anyone drawing something they'd like to share what it is, or you don't want to share? No share. You're willing to share? Okay. What did you draw? It is now.
I draw God with the
cape.
Cape with him.
Awesome, yeah. Like a superhero cape? Yes, yes. Anyone else want to share what you drew? Okay.
I draw God and the sheep.
Oh, yes. God and
the flower.
Yes, I see all that. Nice. Anyone else want to share what they drew on their doodle prayer? I think you do, don't you? All right. Well, how about you finish your doodle prayer at your seat with your family or whoever brought you, and we will pray together before we before we go, all right? Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you so much for children and this unique and interesting way of praying called doodle prayer. We know that this may be useful and helpful for children, but it may be useful and helpful for adults to connect with you. So we are grateful for all the ways and means that we can connect and pray to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you can go, you can take your crayons and pencils and paper and whatever you have with you back to your seats with whoever brought you. Do you want to take a crayon with you, honey, or do you want to leave it here?
I want to
You could take it with you.
This is our last week to experience Scripture during Lent in an abridged Lectio Divina format, which means divine reading. I will read the Scripture once, and then we will have a time to reflect as we listen to the choir's anthem. As you reflect, ask what words or phrases grabbed your attention in the reading. How is God speaking to you through this Scripture? You may use the reflection page in your bulletin to journal your thoughts. When the music is over, we will hear the Scripture read again, perhaps with a new perspective. This Scripture relates Jesus' experience in the Garden of Gethsemane. We continue to hear the words of the Gospel of Matthew. I'm reading from chapter 26, verses 36 to 46. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for a third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Good morning again. We began our morning with palm branches and joy. This scripture reading is set just a few days later and just before Jesus is betrayed. In our Bible study group on Friday, we noted how disciples are so frustrating. They keep messing up or falling short. Couldn't Jesus pick out a better group of disciples? I mean, what was he thinking? And then we realized the original disciples are just like us. We mess up and fall short in what Jesus has in store for us many times in life. As I was reading Facebook the other day, my Facebook friend shared that she had tried meditating that morning and fell asleep. I couldn't help but think of the scripture reading today. People who meditate describe a couple of things that happen when they begin meditating. First, monkey mind. When as soon as you try to turn off your mind, it just goes crazy. It starts thinking about a lot of things all at once, such as to-do lists and the conversation from yesterday. Or beginners sometimes just fall asleep. This Lent, our theme is listen, especially during prayer. Sometimes when we pray, we have monkey mind, or we fall asleep when we are not actively talking with God. Listening is hard. The silence is hard. So I ask you, are we so exhausted that we fall asleep and do not attend to our prayer life? Are we walking zombies? Just as the original or first disciples, are we sleeping through the important moments in our life? Are we sleeping through our God-given purpose? In our scripture reading, verse 39 today, it says, "And going a little farther, he," meaning Jesus, "threw himself on the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want.'" The cup Jesus refers to is a metaphor for destiny. Jesus is praying about his destiny and ultimately saying to God, "Not what I want, but what you want." Jesus is listening for that still, small voice of God. He is verbalizing his destiny is in God's hands. In this scripture, the disciples falling asleep when Jesus asked them to stay awake, and Jesus feeling about them checking out, are a foreshadowing of the betrayal and loneliness Jesus will feel in the coming hours. The disciples are just like us. We fall short and mess up, but Jesus keeps us as disciples through our failures. And sometimes we get it right. This was yesterday. We were marching in March for Our Lives. And I'm wondering, did any of you see Emma Gonzalez yesterday, who spoke in D.C.? She was talking about her experience in her school with an active shooter. After she talked about her classmates who had died, then she stood in silence for 4 minutes. And this is what we saw for 4 minutes. When her timer went off, she said, Since I've been up here, 6 minutes and 20 seconds have passed. 6 minutes and 20 seconds is all it took for the shooter to kill and wound many in my school and to change our lives forever. She held the silence for over 4 minutes. Commentators afterwards were talking about how silence on TV never happens because silence is so uncomfortable. The disciples were asked to stay awake in the silence of the night. Our Lenten reflection has been one of listening in the uncomfortable silence. Sometimes we get it wrong, and sometimes we get it right. Yet Jesus keeps picking us to disciple, to tell his story about love of imperfect people who have all the potential to get it right and to stay awake and listen for the still small voice of purpose in the uncomfortable silence. Amen. Today is the last time we will visit our prayer stations. During the next few minutes, we will have an unguided time of prayer. What have you heard deep within you that you want to offer up to God today? As the object of your prayer becomes clear to you, you can get up and visit one of the prayer stations to take an action that creates a physical representation or experience of your prayer desire. There are places to light a candle right up here, or to ring a chime, which is in the back corner over there, or to write your prayer on dissolving paper back in that corner. The ringing, lighting, or dissolving takes the prayer from your heart and places it in God's hands. You may also choose to stay seated and journal on the reflection page in your pew, or just come forward and kneel at the communion rail. This is your time of prayer, your appointment with God. We will take our time, so there's no need to rush. If you have a prayer request for a person or place that you would like shared later in worship, write it on your combination prayer slip and attendance slip that looks like the one that is being held up, the yellow one, and you can bring it forward and set it in the basket in front of the cross. If you'd like someone to pick it up, just hold it up high and one of our ushers will come get it and place it in the basket. The chime of the singing bowl and the music of the choir will bring us back to our seats. Let us begin our prayer time. God, we have come asking for clarity about the best way forward. We know the road is not always easy, but we also know you are always present. Thank you, God. Thank you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
As we remember the people and places we have named, dear God, we seek your help in knowing how to respond to these needs. Let us join together in speaking the prayer Jesus taught us, in whatever way or language that you feel closest to God. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So what we've just prayed is really a call to action, and there's many ways we can live out that call. I'm Barbara Fode, a member of the congregation, and I'm here to share just a few of those. But do grab your bulletin, because there are lots of activities going on that I won't have a chance to mention. This is probably the most special week of the year for the church, a pastor's nightmare, I will say, for Alicia. Lots of opportunities for you to listen more and to share. We have a Holy Thursday or a Maundy Thursday service Thursday night right here behind us in the gathering room. Friday, the sanctuary is going to be open. I'm so delighted to see 7 a.m. since I have an 8 o'clock class. So somebody else can join me here at 7, but all the way till 3 o'clock. So you can just come here and have some of that time to be and listen. And, of course, the food pantry and other things that regularly go on Saturday will be here. And then what's next Sunday? Easter. It's always a glorious service. So please come and bring your friends and family and invite people to come. And speaking of Easter, today's the last Sunday you have a chance to donate for the beautiful bank of flowers that will be up here. So if you want to donate in honor or in memory of somebody, Nancy or someone will be at a table right outside this door after worship, and any amount is fine to give. There's not a set amount. I want to remind you that Wednesday this week is the new member meetings. So we've had a lot of new people come join us, which is terrific. And if you'd like to formalize that relationship a little bit, you can meet with Pastor Alicia. And Barb, would you mind standing up since you're up front? People don't always see you in the choir. Our lay leader, Barbara Nunn, see her or see Pastor Alicia if you need to know more, but there's info in here. And then week after Easter, another great event, special music, and there's a blue slip in your bulletin that you can invite someone. The choir is going to present Mass in G with organ and strings. That's going to be fabulous. And then finally, one of the ways to support our mission project is through pecan sales. And this Sunday and next Sunday, we will have some pecan sales because there's still more there. Whether you want pecan caramel clusters or pecans for baking, they're great for little gifts, hostess gifts, and that will be back in the gathering room. Again, many opportunities to be in service or mission and ministry here. And then a final way as we move toward our offering, doing all these many things that we do, particularly our food pantry, our mission outreach here and around the world, does cost some money, as well as keeping up this wonderful place. So now's an opportunity for you to share in that mission and ministry through your donations. But we have a number of visitors here, and if you are visiting today for a first time, we do not expect a donation from you. You are our guests. But others of you, please, as the ushers come forward, if you can, contribute. But also, most importantly, if you didn't put a prayer slip up here, the yellow slip, we just like to know that you're here. Whether you're a first-timer or you've been here for years, that can go in the offering plate as well.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Living God, we bring our gifts that are the best of us We offer service to our neighbors as if we offer it to you. We call you teacher, example, redeemer, the savior of the world. We too wave palms and rejoice in you. Amen. From the joyful entry to a betrayal in the garden to the tragic events of Good Friday, we can't help but wonder, how did the crowd turn from rejoicing to rejecting? How did these events get so out of hand? On Sunday, it felt like a victory parade. They thought Jesus was going to be an easy answer, but rather than calling down the cosmic Calvary, Jesus demonstrated that love isn't a magic trick or a sleight of hand. Love is hard work. Even facing arrest and crucifixion, love is patient and kind. Love is not envious or boastful. Love does not insist on its own way. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. The final reading from the Gospel of Matthew is from the 27th chapter. After I finish reading, and as you experience the removal of our Palm Sunday celebration, I invite you to imagine what it means to listen to or to follow the Spirit of God over the voices of greed and hatred that so often sway the crowd. Throughout Lent, you've been asked to notice a word or words that grab your attention within the scripture we're reading and reflect. Today, if the statements on the screen from our final reading grab your attention, I invite you to speak them aloud as you're so moved. The service will end in silence, so at the end of the service, please leave the sanctuary in silence when you're ready. Hear now our final reading from Matthew 27. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people reached the decision to have Jesus put to death. They bound him, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate, the governor. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "That's what you say." During the festival, the governor always released one prisoner to the crowd. Pilate asked the crowd, "Whom would you like me to release to you, the thief, Barabbas, or Jesus, who is called Christ?" The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and kill Jesus. "Give us Barabbas," they replied. Pilate said, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They shouted, "Crucify him." But Pilate said, "Why? What has he done?" They shouted even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate said, "I am innocent of this man's blood. It's your problem." Then he released Barabbas to them and had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The governor's soldiers stripped Jesus, put a scarlet robe on him, and twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
We're so thankful you are still speaking. You are still speaking, gracious God. For the sake of the world, you are seeking. We are listening. Listening now. Listening now.